Welcome to Her Leading Story, a podcast that will inspire you with stories from amazing female leaders and give you some ideas to help you design a life and a career that's perfect for you. It's totally doable, and the good news is that you'll have me and our community of leading women by your side every single step of the way. Let's get started. I'm your host, Julie Artis, and this is Her Leading Story. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Her Leading Story. This is your host, Julie, and this week is a solo episode. I decided after the podcast that got released 2 weeks ago, in which I talked about how to figure out what you want, I recommended two exercises that I often use with clients who are trying to figure out what to do next. And I heard back from some of you that those were super helpful. One of my friends texted me and said, "You're reading my mind." I actually challenged one friend to actually do it on paper and not just think about it in her head. So if you feel called out by that, maybe you should write everything out for either one of those exercises, but especially the one that I call decades and describe in episode 5. I wanted to spend today following up on that because those kinds of exercises can and do bring up so many aha moments, like excitement, an additional awareness. You figure something out that maybe you weren't totally consciously aware of was a pattern in what you really enjoy doing. It can really point you in a direction of realizing that you need to make some maybe minor adjustments in what your work is, what your life is, what your balance is. But it also could be pointing towards something that's a little bit of a bigger change, like a major career pivot or something like that. The question that comes up then is, okay, I now have this information. I now have this clarity. What now? What happens with many people, and myself included, is that the clarity can fall away into confusion, worry, fear. Let's just say like it's a big career pivot. I had one client who contacted me because she had created many multiple projects for herself as a way of moving toward a career shift. And as we were talking, I realized that she had basically mapped out like 2 or 3 years worth of actual work on top of her job to do in order to do this career shift. And I'm not talking about a new degree program or anything. I'm just talking about, you know, like little online classes and competencies and maybe starting a blog. And I was like, I think we need to focus. Like, what is really going to move the needle here to get this career pivot going? And then even after isolating that down to what really, really mattered, she made some progress and then more recently stalled out on the very final step. And so I want to talk a little bit about why that happens and how to handle it when it does. I mean, the upshot is that we may know what direction we want to go in. We may have even whittled it down to the very next step and done some research, talked to people about how to go about taking this next step. But we are human, and our brain therefore does very human things, including avoiding change, going out of our comfort zone, not wanting to feel rejected, not wanting to feel hard feelings. And so what happens a lot in my coaching, even about things that seem fairly cut and dried, like career coaching or leadership coaching, is that anytime that you're trying to change something about your work or your life, your brain can throw up roadblocks of resistance. And These often take the forms of emotions, as I just said, like fear, avoidance. So how can we have these emotions? How can we identify and recognize them and not squash them, because that makes it way worse? I'll talk about that another time. But how can we move through them to the other side so that we can actually stretch ourselves and take the very next right step? This is where neuroscience and coaching class that I'm taking come in. I'm learning how to help clients notice these feelings of fear, avoidance, or anxiety in the moment, to identify them and then put in place a system for a pattern interrupt. So let's just go back to that client and take something like avoidance. So as I said, she had got to this very last step and she'd been working really hard. We had focused her on just the things that were going to help with her pivot. And there was one more thing before she was really going to go out on the job market and really announce that this is what she wanted to pivot to. And the last time I talked to her, she was basically what I call workcrastinating, right? Procrastinating by working on other things, doing everything possible except for that very last task. And we talked a little bit about what was going on with that. And it wasn't that the task itself was scary. It wasn't that she wasn't prepared to do the last task. It was that there was this feeling that was uncomfortable that came up every time she sat down to actually do the task. So I explain during our call that this avoidance is basically a habit. And, you know, this is my nerdy neuroscience education moment, which is that one way to think about habits like avoidance is that this is a neurological process that she had developed over many, many years, that her brain had developed in order to keep her safe. And it could be keeping her safe from a lot of things, right? Like rejection, taking risks, any kind of change. So the brain is always trying to protect us. But in trying to protect us, it makes change hard. And so anytime you're trying to make a change, your brain might start to go down these very, very well-worn paths of things like anxiety, depression, even a well-worn path of confusion. I don't know what to do next. And what I've been learning is that this means that there is a very, very wide road, so to speak, and I'm speaking in metaphors, maybe more like a highway, right? Where as soon as you're presented with something that you know is going to lead to a change, it kicks in this very well-worn path. It automatically kicks in. So in terms of my client, there's this very, very wide habit road of avoidance that automatically kicked in whenever she thought about sitting down at the computer to complete that final task. So what do we do, right? What I taught her were a couple of methods to interrupt that pattern, because the key is to put up a roadblock and force the road to go in a different direction than it normally does. A habit of avoidance will normally just end up with you avoiding the thing and doing something else. So to change that, you have to throw up some sort of roadblock and force the highway or the road to do something else. Really, you have to do that over and over again to really change the neural programming that you have. But one of the things that I've learned is that there are a couple of kinesthetic, meaning body related, methods that you can use to do a pattern interrupt in the moment whenever it's noticed. And this has really even helped me myself when I'm having a nervous system reaction to something in my life or at work. So one that I showed her that's very common is to pass an object back and forth from one hand to another across the midline of your body. And that's because when you have this neural network avoidance lit up, or a neural network of anxiety lit up, you want to stop it, right? And one way to stop it is to calm down your nervous system, to calm down the activation. And by passing this object across the midline of your body, it actually regulates your nervous system. It really puts you into a sense of more relaxation. I have a whole list of these pattern interrupts, but that was one that I showed her. Another one that's super simple is if you feel that feeling and it's not super intense, you can also just shake your body and sit up straight as a way of interrupting that pattern. And then what's important to work on next is what my client wanted to feel instead. And so I asked her, when you sit down at the computer to do this, how would you like to feel? Like, what would make this work for you? And so she wanted to feel confident. She wanted to feel excited. We worked on bringing that feeling of confidence and excitement, building that feeling up in her body. Like, what does that actually feel like when you're confident? Like, you're sitting up straight, you're lifting, kind of almost smiling, right? You're open. And embodying this, it turns out, is really, really important because, of course, all of the neurons in your brain are linked to all of the neurons all over your body. And so once you've done a pattern interrupt of, say, avoidance or anxiety, what you then want to do is figure out what to replace it with. You want to feel confident. You want to feel proud. You want to feel motivated to finish this very final last task. You want to work up the feeling of confidence in your body and then apply it to sitting down at the computer, right? To basically loop that feeling. And then even to take that feeling into the future, how are you going to feel next month when that's done and you're applying for jobs and you're getting interviews and you're proud of yourself, right? So it's really, really powerful work that you can do to basically notice when you are going down some sort of habituated pathway of something like avoidance, anxiety, fear, and be able to not only stop it, but then replace that feeling in the context that triggers it with something that's a lot more resourceful. That's how you want to feel. That's confident. That's super proud. That's motivated. That's excited. So we did that for a little while. And then I introduced a guided relaxation technique to solidify this in. When she was super, super relaxed, we visualized her sitting down at the computer and completing the task and doing it with ease, thinking about how excited and how proud she was of herself, and really playing it like a movie in her head, right? This is what athletes do when they are doing guided visualizations in order to get their mindset right as they're going into a match or a game. I'm sharing the nitty-gritty of this process because I'm coming to realize that the power of coaching, and especially if I think about career or leadership coaching, it's not just about what do I need to do on LinkedIn? What is my job search strategy? How should I update my resume? It is about that, but it's really the emotions that come up and the resistance that comes up when you are working on those things. And that's what I'm really learning how to help with these new tools. And I was so excited to go through this process a little bit with this particular person because she had been a former client of mine. We had worked together at the end of last year, gotten her focused and moving down the path. And then I introduced these tools to her and she was so happy that she had some tools that she herself could use without me anytime she was feeling any kind of avoidance or resistance to that final task that she had been avoiding. And this is an example of what is called NERD alert, self-directed neuroplasticity, where you really can change your brain over time if you know the tools. And honestly, there is nothing that is better as a coach than hearing that you've empowered someone with the tools that they need to move through these doubts and insecurities themselves. I hope that gives you a window on what I've been working on the things that I'm really excited to share with you, my audience. I'll be writing more about it on Instagram, talking about it more on the podcast, and working with more clients using these methods. I hope that gave you a lot of food for thought, and I will see you next week. Take care. And that's a wrap on this episode of Her Leading Story. If you love this episode, please help me reach more women by leaving a review wherever you're listening. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week.